The future of online TV is here.
View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Mouyeh. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. It is Ida Mouyeh, and tonight we are going to be talking about attitude, the golden rule of sports. And in our studio, we have a very special guest. His name is Dennis S. Brown. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Brown. Obviously, when you hear the name Dennis S. Brown, you're going to remember it. He's the president of Destiny Investments, a graduate of Southern University, Baton Rouge, formerly an accountant, turned motivation speaker and author. And to his friends and to his colleagues, as well as to corporate America, he is known as Mr. Attitude. And the reason for that is because he specializes in attitude. And tonight, we're going to talk attitude. And I hope that when you listen to this broadcast, you'll take notes because he's got a lot to say. And I think you'll believe the difference between a good day and a bad day is your attitude. Let me welcome Mr. Dennis Brown to our show. Welcome to the show, Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Ida, so much. I'm very excited to be here, and I want to welcome all your listeners, and we're going to have a good time tonight.
Well, fantastic. Now, you know, Sports Maverick is a show that was designed to redefine the elite athlete, and we concentrate a lot on not just the numbers, but we concentrate a lot on the character as well as the contributions that an athlete makes to both athletics, education, and community. And so we always trust the word, we want you to be a role model. How much does attitude play in being a great role model?
Oh, I think attitude is very, very important and plays a tremendous role in being a role model because, you know, attitude is the one thing in life that we can't control. We can't control the weather, the economy, or politics, or whatever, but we can control our attitude. And when it comes to being a role model, we need to understand that we have a lot of people who, in particular, a lot of youngsters who look up to the athletes to become better people. Because, you know, I'm a firm believer that sports relates to life, that as you prepare to get in the game, you're preparing for the game of life. And then as more as you practice and with that attitude, you become better and better each time.
Now, we hear oftentimes associated with sports is something called mental attitude. And a lot of times, we have a lot of psychologists that really have written volumes of books on this mental attitude. And some say it has a lot to do with the difference between being a talented athlete versus being an ordinary athlete. How do you look at that, and how would you define mental attitude in sports from your perspective?
Okay, mental attitude is the ability to see things before they happen. You have to see it before it happens in order for it to happen. If you look at golfers or football players or even baseball players, it doesn't matter. When they see certain things in their mind, they will go out and really act on it physically because you have to see it mentally first. And once you do that, to give an example, there used to be some coaches, and I'm sure there still are, who used to have their players in basketball just mentally think about shooting free throws and hitting, not only shooting free throws, but hitting those shots. And then when they physically got to do it, their averages rose tremendously because in their mind, they saw what was going on and got excited about it. And that transformed to all things in life, that if you can see it, you can believe it, and it's all about your attitude. It's not what happens to you. It's how you react to what happens to you. And, you know, one of my famous sayings is simply this, that the only difference between a good day and a bad day is your attitude, because if you believe it's going to be a great day, trust me, it will be.
You know, we hear stories about athletes that have been benched because of injury. Mm-hmm. And even though they cannot play the game, they tend to watch tapes. And some of them even say that they dream about making the plays they actually get able to do. A good example would be when Ben Roethlisberger was suspended.
Mm-hmm.
He said that every single day he went home, he dreamed of actually trying to make it to the Super Bowl.
Correct.
And he did, in fact, make it to the Super Bowl after being off for four games, crucial games, and then to come back and to scratch his way back all the way back to the Super Bowl. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers did not win this year, but mm-hmm. they actually had the attitude of a winner. So talk about winning attitude, because, you know, mentally you got to see it, but when you put it into practice, is there a hierarchy of attitude?
Yes, it is, because I'm a firm believer that, and I've heard this quote many, many years ago, that winners find a way to win. Losers find a way to lose. If you look at certain games that are played, regardless of the sport, that, you know, if you look at the Lakers in basketball or the Yankees in baseball or whoever in whatever sport, they have an attitude that they can win because they've been there, they've fallen behind, but they have the attitude that we can come back. And that comeback attitude is what it takes to propel yourself to have a winning attitude, because you really have to believe that you can do it in order to make it work. But on the other hand, you see some teams who get a lead, and instead of playing to win, they play not to lose, and they end up losing anyway because that's what their mental state is, concentrating on the losing as opposed to the winning, and that's what separates basically the consistent winners from the consistent losers.
Now, one of the things we hear from a perspective of the medical community, that a macho attitude undermines sports sometimes. Talk a little bit about the macho attitude.
Well, the macho attitude primarily is that I'm just better than you, period, without giving you any respect for your abilities. And you have to be careful with that because sometimes the teams that you play or the opponent that you face has the same, you know, adrenaline and ability that you do. So you may end up on the short end of the stick as opposed to the winning end. So you got to be careful with the macho stuff and understand that if you prepare yourself mentally, respect your opponent, number one, and get things done, then you won't end up on the losing end and be embarrassed because you thought you were, you know, you were so good that no one can beat you. And so you have to make sure that you prepare each and every time and never, ever take your opponent for granted, which is the opposite of being macho.
So, in other words, I'm looking at macho attitude. We have a lot about concussions we hear about in the press, and they said that players will still want to play even though they know they're combating head injury. So
correct.
Where does stupidity and attitude depart from each other?
Well, even when the players with the head injuries or any other injury try to come in and play for their team, it's not always, I don't think, it's always macho. Sometimes they really believe in themselves and the team, and they want to do the very best they can to help their team win. So sometimes, you know, all athletes have to play in pain, and a lot of times they do. But, you know, if you look back over the years with, you know, Michael Jordan having a flu, but he couldn't miss a shot, Isaiah Thomas, you know, hopping around and still hitting 30 points in a quarter against the Lakers, you know, Gibson hitting the home run for the Dodgers. They were injured at the time, but their mental focus was, I'm in this game, I'm going to do the very best that I can, and I'm going to make it work. Now, there is a time that when you are so hurt that you're hurting your team, and sometimes that's when that macho comes in that I'm going to be out here anyway, but all you're doing is slowing your team down, and you're not adding any value. So oftentimes in that case, you just need to sit down and take some treatment and come back when you can.
Excellent. Now, we have the NFL draft coming up, and we have Cam Newton continuously in the press.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam Newton has been in the press for a couple of reasons. Number one is that he has a positive attitude. He believes he's the greatest. He believes he's an icon already. He believes that he will win a Super Bowl, and he hasn't even been drafted yet. Okay.
Right.
He also believes, of course, that he could win a national championship, and he did.
Correct.
So, obviously, you know, he is proving that he can do things. But here's the concern I have about him going into the NFL.
Okay.
He has already declared himself a target. Now, is that attitude going to get him into trouble? Or is that sort of a thing that when you take that position and you have such a positive, I mean, is that considered as a positive attitude? I mean, to feel that way? Because everyone's telling me he's got a target on his back, that people wish he would stop talking to the press. So, I mean, some people are just so positive about themselves. Some people hold it in. Other people, you know, have to talk about it. So help me understand, if I'm telling someone, you need to have a positive attitude, or you need to have a business attitude towards the draft, or you need to anticipate that maybe your attitude may get you into trouble, because what you're doing is that you maybe think you're being positive, but it might be perceived as being negative.
Well, I think Muhammad Ali put it best when he said, when you tell the truth, you're not bragging. And if you believe in yourself and you have the ability to back that belief up, you're a great person. You're a great athlete. And if Cam Newton says he's a target because of his talent, yet he can back it up. I honestly believe him. He's from a very tough conference, the SEC conference. He's played a lot of great teams. He's won a lot. He's proven that he has the ability to do it. But he also needs to understand when he goes to the NFL, you know, everybody's, you know, is fast. Everybody's tough. Everybody can hit. So he's going to face some different competition, but I think his mental aspect is simply this, that I have the God-given ability to do what I can do. You guys know I'm good. I know I'm good. And I'm going to put my best out there, and let's see who wins this thing. And I don't have a problem with that, but he just has to be careful, because they're going to hit him and tell him, welcome to the NFL, thanks for talking and all that stuff. But he has to get up and rise to the occasion. And once he starts doing that on a consistent basis, I think he would rise to the stardom that he currently has in college when he enters the NFL.
Well, I think you make a very good point, and I just want to digress a little bit.
Okay.
To another athlete that came out a couple of years ago. His name was Reggie Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And Reggie kind of had a similar attitude.
Right.
And
go ahead.
And Reggie, welcome to the NFL. He's had some persistent injuries. But he continues to try to be, you know, the best that he can be. But clearly, that was some adjusting for him.
And it was. And what it did, Reggie came in, you know, he was all world at USC, and he came in, you know, with the Saints and NFL and took his lumps. But he also had some moments of brilliance. And it's like when you play golf, every now and then you're going to hit that sweet spot, and you're going to go, boy, I need to keep playing this thing again. Where he knows what it feels like to be on top, so he knows if he continues to work, and to his credit, after that first or second year when he decided to stay in New Orleans and work out with his teammates, he then realized that it takes a higher commitment when you get into the NFL as it did as opposed to college, and he's paid that. He's had some injuries, but I still think that he's a dominant force in the NFL, and I would love to have him on my team.
Well, we've seen through Chris Leak that came out of Florida and won a national championship that having a great attitude did not ensure that you go to the next level. Because obviously the next level is, as they say, in the hinterlands. All you did in college, the only thing that matters is those 13 game tapes and also your ability to take those skills and translate that to the next level. So obviously we're looking at a new criteria to be measured. And if you don't reach, and again, let me go back, there's a million people who play sports. A third of that get to go to the next level, and only a third gets drafted. So we'll come back with that. We're going for a short break right now, and we're going to come back, and we want to talk a little bit about the spirituality in sports and how did that relate to attitude.
Look forward to it. Not a problem.
We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moy Yo. Listen to the Sports Maverick Show.
Talk is cheap. Talking only gets you nowhere. You know you gotta sow before you
win. Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here. This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional, take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, and this is the Sports Maverick Show that redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between sports and life. And tonight, we're talking about attitude, and we're calling attitude the golden rule of sport. My special guest tonight is Mr. Dennis S. Brown. He's an author. His book is Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life. The foreword is written by Les Brown. He is an author, a motivation speaker, and he speaks all over the country. He's available for corporate meetings as well as individual group meetings as well. And I want to welcome Mr. Brown back to our show. Welcome back to the show, Dennis.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, and let's roll.
Well, let me just tell you, I just got an interesting email that came from the Greater Cincinnati Sports World, and they asked me a question. The question is that, what role does spirituality play in a sports attitude? And do they both have to come together to determine altitude?
Great question. I'm a firm believer that spirituality plays 100% in what goes on in your life. And that goes back to seeing it before you believe it. You have to have the faith that it's going to happen before it happens. And that faith comes from, you know, whatever source you want, but mine in particular is the spirit and the source that I get from God and how he has led me through my life and some things that I had to go through, a lot of things that I had to go through that I knew without him I wouldn't be able to do it. So in order to have that and believe that, having faith is one thing. Applying faith is a whole different deal. But once you have that faith, then you have the attitude to know that, you know, you have that spirit behind you to make certain things happen. And that would take you to the altitude that you need to go to when it comes to sports and your achievements. And that's if you win or lose. But basically that you have the understanding that you have the belief that someone greater than yourself is watching over you.
So let's go back and just discuss that just a little bit and kind of break it down, because I think, obviously, you know, having that spirit there and believing in God and all that plays a great role in just how you feel about life. But let's
right.
talk about in terms of a lot of athletes get to the 11th hour in a game, and mm-hmm. all they have left is really that spirituality. And you hear about how that spirit kicks in, and mm-hmm. they go into a zone. And as a result of that, they won the game because they really pulled together in spirit as well as in, you know, into the zone. So is it a process that an athlete can go through? Like if some of these athletes are listening out there and they're saying, you know, I'm a very spiritual person, you know, and I play sports and I want to make sure that, you know, I keep a real positive attitude. And it's my belief in God that God has given me this gift. So therefore, mm-hmm. I play for that. You hear Tim Tebow says it all the time. I play for God.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that made him the number one selling pro athlete shirt in Denver of all times, and he was the number one in NFL of all memorabilia. And, of
mm-hmm.
course, he hasn't won any national championships, but he still has attracted people to him because of that attitude. So help me with that a little bit to talk about how they can manage that.
Well, you know, as we all know, as Bible readers, faith without work is dead. Having faith and not applying any work behind it is not having any faith at all. So that's when the workout comes in, the mental preparation, the watching of the film, knowing your opponents, knowing your physical abilities, and pushing yourself physically to the point that you know that will come a point in time, if you've seen some teams just wear other teams down, you know, through the game, that's why it's called four quarters, that you have to understand and be just as strong in the first as you are in the fourth, that the faith that you have to, as you see certain teams win at the end, and also it's about the creation of urgency, the current urgency that you have, while most points are scored at the end of the quarter as opposed to any other time in the game, because they know the time is running out and they have to stay focused on what's going on. But when it comes to the end of the game, that's when that extra workout, that extra mile that you ran, that extra push-up that you took. Will generate you to do some things that your opponent did not do, plus with the faith that you have will get you and guide you to a victory.
So basically what you're saying is even having a wonderful positive attitude, that faith is sort of the real impetus that really pushes you through, probably give you like an 800-pound gorilla and pushes you straight through. It just compounds it, I guess, in terms of you've got the faith and you've got that attitude and you believe that you've got that winning attitude, generally it will push you through. Now,
let me add one thing real quick. But on top of that, you have to have the physical preparation to go behind the mental preparation in order to succeed.
Okay. So in other words,
okay.
Just having the attitude, just having the faith is not enough. You've got to be prepared.
Exactly. You got to prepare. That's correct.
So
that's right.
Preparation, time and opportunity comes together. That's what makes it happen. And on
there
top of that, faith. All right.
Yep.
All right. Again, it's very clear to us out there that self-esteem plays a big part in a positive attitude.
Oh, yeah. A great part. To give you a quick example, Jerry Rice during practice used to catch balls and run all the way to the end zone. You catch a ball and run all the way to the end zone. Catch a ball, run all the way to the end zone. And they kept asking him, why do you keep running to the end zone? And his answer was simply this: that's what I expect to do on Sunday. So I'm going to do it in practice.
Okay, so there's a little projection as well as great attitude. Jerry has a great attitude. And then also acting out on his positive feelings about himself In other words, I expect, using the words, I expect to do that. So where does teamwork come in here? Because the I is there, but obviously it takes a team to get him there. He needs a quarterback to throw the ball to him. He needs somebody to block for him. So it really, I guess, leadership comes in there. I mean, if you're going to have this attitude, sometimes it also emanates leadership, maybe?
Oh, yes, because and you can rub success, rub off on success. Success leaves clues. So, therefore, if you're an offensive lineman or defensive lineman or whatever position, that just to use football as an example, when it comes to teamwork, everyone has a role to play in the team succeeding. I've seen certain plays just fall apart because one person missed an assignment. So, therefore, everybody needs to be as focused as they can. That's why we have to continue to encourage each one of our teammates, which goes back to the attitude that, number one, I appreciate what you're doing, the attitude of gratitude that we're working all together to get this thing done. And that's in any sport, football, baseball, basketball, whatever, that everyone has a role to play to make the team better.
Excellent. Now, I want to go back to, and I'm always baffled by this, is that you have done everything right from elementary, high school, to college. And then you get into the pros, and you start doing things that are detrimental to you. We've got Barry Bonds on trial because of the alleged use of steroids in baseball.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You've had Santonio Holmes for the Jets, who, was suspended a couple games because of, substance abuse, okay, mm-hmm. after having won the winning play of the year for ESPN as well as winning the Super Bowl for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but still also having that issue. And mm-hmm. then you look at Tiger Woods, who was the most positive and dynamic, player, but behind mm-hmm. closed doors, there's a whole other demon that was growing back there. So what's going on back here in terms of we see this great attitude, and like, for instance, Barry Bonds, it was told that no one ever liked Barry Bonds. So even though he had high self-esteem, he was not mm-hmm. likable by a lot of people, so therefore the press really chewed him up. And you take Tiger, who they absolutely loved, that they couldn't get enough of, and then, of course, I won't say they didn't give him a free play, but they at least have let him at least try to come back. Barry Bonds has never been able to even come back. I mean, I'm just balancing the two here. One had a positive attitude, and the other one didn't. So where are the dynamics here? I mean, you got young players out there that need to understand is that you don't take these kind of risks, but also it's how they perceive you sometimes is how you're going to be treated in good times and in bad times.
This is true. But let me say this first of all. I've been watching baseball for many years. Between the lines, I have never seen anyone more respected than Barry Bonds. However, he did not get along well with the press, and therefore, when he did something wrong or was accused of doing something wrong, they immediately jumped on it. But that goes back to the phrase that most people will do good for you, or if they just simply like you. If they like you, even when you make mistakes, they're going to try to, do what they can to try to help you out. Tiger Woods, for example, everyone loved him, but he got into some trouble, and they rode him. Actually, they still rode him pretty good, I thought, but not as hard as they could have because of how he interacted with the press from the beginning. Even Ben Roethlisberger, when he got in trouble with the Steelers, based on the relationship that he had with the media, they kind of gave him a little break and didn't ride him too good, too bad. But, again, it goes back to your attitude that you have about how you carry yourself that, most people will go out of their way for you if they just simply like you. So, therefore, in order for them to like you, you must first like yourself. And that comes back to that attitude part that you have to have an attitude of gratitude that we all are human. And sometimes we get caught up with these athletes. We think they're superhuman and they can't make mistakes or they can't make bad choices. again, relating sports to life, we're all the result of the choices that we make, good and bad. So therefore, when we make them bad, even when we are a top-notch athlete, we're going to have to serve and pay the consequences.
Well, we're going to hold with that point. It's very important to really recognize out there parents, and that is that, you know, kids should understand that a good attitude will cure you in a good day and in a bad day. And obviously, if they like you, they'll do nice things for you. And
exactly.
It's important because they see the attitude, and this is what they like about you. But if they don't, they may be harder on you than normally. So we'll come back in 3 years. We're going to take another break here. I want to talk a little bit how parents can embrace success attitude for sports. And we'll be back in 3 with our special guest, Dennis S. Brown, with the author and motivation speaker on attitude. We'll be back in 3.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Mavericks Show. It's Ida Moyet. I'm talking to my special guest, Dennis S. Brown. He's an author and a motivation speaker. His book is Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life. And the foreword is written by global motivation speaker Les Brown. Now, tonight we're talking about attitude in sports, and we call this the golden rule of sports. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Now, I'm going to bring our speaker back here. Dennis, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, we got an email came from a parent out in Arizona, and she was saying that she believes that attitude begins at home, and she liked the title Golden Rule of Sports is Attitude. That is everybody knows what the Golden Rule is, do unto others as you want them to do unto you.
Right.
Now, for that parent out there in Arizona, again, tell her What do you think about attitude? Does it begin at home? And what can parents do to instill a great attitude in their kids prior to them playing sports?
I'm a firm believer that attitude begins at home. Just to give an example, my mom and dad, who were not overly educated, but had the attitude that they were going to do the best that they can to raise their kids. I'm the last of five, and we all graduated from college. I all graduated from Southern University, to be exact. But their attitude was, we're going to do the best we can with what we have. But they also, they laughed a lot. They prayed a lot. I saw them interact with the neighbors and care for the neighbors as if they were kin folks. We call everybody cousin. That's just how we were raised. And when we got into the competition part of it, or playing sports, they helped us realize that, you know, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some, but, you know, just give it the best that you can and everything else will take care of itself. Sometimes parents get so caught up in their kid, they forget about that kid growing up to be an adult and being able to pass it on to future generations. So we have to be careful that we pass on the positive things and not get so much caught up on the winning aspect of sports, but how you play the game, how you treat your teammates, and what are you becoming as you go through this process? Are you becoming a better person? Are you sharing? Are you laughing? Are you caring? Are you praying to make life better?
So, again, sometimes children seem to be more interested in the outcome of a game than the actual process of playing the game. And
exactly.
So, I mean, what steps would you give to them? Because a lot of times parents are the ones who instill that in them. You got to win. You got to win. Don't come home unless you come home with a win. This is what you got to do. And so, therefore, they lose their direction of why they play the game. And when they lose, they don't want to play anymore.
Yep, and it means so much because the kids don't want to, first of all, kids never want to disappoint their parents. So what we have to show them, and I have two daughters, and they've played sports, never were that great in sports, but that's okay. Dad is out there cheering them on along the way, and you have to let them know that you're behind them. That's very, very important that kids need to, number one, see you in the stand, win, lose, or draw, because I never forget I went to a high school game, and the guys were pointing out, well, my son is number 57. My son is number 24. What's your son's number? And I just simply said, no, that's my baby girl, the cheerleader. That one on the end, that's my baby right there. I'm here to see her do what she does. And the parents have to instill in their kids that we have their back, we do support them, win, lose, or draw, and it's not all about winning all the time. We just want them to prepare for life and to be able to pass it on to their children.
Well, when we talk about unhealthy environments in sports, I think it's a 50-50 some of the coaches out there and 50-50 parents. So, I mean, and it's been said, and many articles have been actually written about it, that, you know, win at all costs, you know, and that attitude is really hurting youth sports. So I'm not sure that's a great attitude if you're going to sacrifice the health, number one, of the youth, and at the same time, you know, you are not prepared to teach them how to be a good, as they say, a good person, even if they lose. Because I think that's where the character comes from. Sometimes if you don't win all the time, you win sometimes, you're not, but you still basically maintain a good attitude. So, again, we know that this is a big problem with youth sports because parents sometimes identify with the sports versus the accomplishment of their children. So, you know, we get a lot of leftovers of poor mental attitude as a result of that. And I will just relate to you that I did a program with Athletes Connection, which is it's transitioning athletes back into the business world after they stopped playing sports. Mm-hmm. And I never forget the gentleman who was in my class, and he said all he wanted was for his parents to accept him as a former tennis player and a person versus the person who never went to a national championship.
Correct.
You know, and so how do you get parents to realize that sometimes their living vicariously through their children can be hurtful and that they need an attitude adjustment?
Yeah. And you just brought up a good point that a lot of them do try to live their lives through their kids, and that's a mistake because their kids are their kids. They want to be who they want to be. And just because, you know, you wanted to become a lawyer, your kid doesn't necessarily, now you want your kid to be a lawyer. Well, he may want to become something else. So we have to be careful as parents and be very, very careful that we recognize the talents that our kids have and let them choose some of the paths that they need to take in life in order to be successful. Because, you know, even when it comes to choosing colleges and stuff, oftentimes parents want to take the lead that you have to go here, you have to go there, but then the kids get there and not excited about it, then they blame their parents because I didn't want to go here in the first place. Well, we have to allow them, allow your kids to make mistakes, but also, very importantly, we need to catch our children doing something well and compliment them on the spot. Because once you do that, all of us love to be complimented. And once you start complimenting your kids for doing something right, they're going to feel so good. They're going to do what? Keep doing something right so they can get that compliment again. So just make it a habit to compliment your children as often as you possibly can. They'll get used to that and start doing more things right and become a better person. And you'll feel good because you helped develop that.
Now, I was reading some of the scouting reports mm-hmm. on some of the athletes that are being scouted for the NFL draft. And believe it or not, out of several of the reports I read, it was at least 50% of them gave indications of attitude. In other words, the negative side was saying, well, he doesn't play with vigor. He doesn't play with spontaneity. You know, his attitude, you know, can be wrong sometimes. These are the kind of words. So are people using the word attitude too loosely?
I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I don't think they use it enough. I think that the attitude is such a fundamental gauge of success or failure that sometimes we overlook it because, again, it's the one thing in life that we can't control. And, you know, having talent is one thing, but talent with desire is something different. And with that desire comes that attitude that I can make this thing work. And oftentimes, even the kids with just raw talent, just need an injection of attitude from someone who cares about them, who loves them, who shows more interest in them just from playing sports that will make them become a better person. So therefore, they go out and do extraordinary things to make it work.
Well, you know, we mentioned about Tiger, and I was just looking at some of the press that was written about Tiger, and my good colleague over at Fox Sports just sent me a note and said that we wrote a lot about Tiger, and one of the headlines is Tiger's got his game and attitude back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
I mean, they view Tiger as losing his attitude and then gaining it back. So if you're talking to athletes out there who have had some disappointments and, you know, everything didn't go so well for them, say, in the Final Four or the tournament itself, and they're trying to get their game back because obviously they've got to get their spirits back. What would you recommend that they do in that regard? Because obviously Tiger went back and reverted back to things that really helped his attitude get back on track.
Well, I think you had a perfect lead-in again that you have to revert back to what works. Go back to what works. Go back to what makes you feel good. Go back to what you were winning with, because somewhere along the line you lost that. And when it comes to the attitude, another way to put it is swagger. That, you know, you have that swagger that you're going to make sure this thing works, that I'm going to do the very best that I can, and the rest of the field is in trouble because I feel like a winner today. And you do that, again, by preparation, prayer, and activities that will make you become a better player in whatever sport that you're playing in. But you have to, again, mentally, spiritually, physically do what you have to do in order to make it work. But also keep one thing very in mind, have some fun in the process. Don't get so caught up in winning or so caught up in trying to be the best that you forget to have some fun doing what you're doing, because all of us at some point in our lives need to pause and ask ourselves, am I happy? Am I happy? And if you're not happy doing what you're doing, you need to do something about it.
Well, we're going to take a break, get back into this attitude thing here. We're talking about attitude. I mean, it's all, we're like, you know, looking at this as the golden rule of sports, but also the golden rule of life. And we're talking about have fun, you know. Part of having a great attitude is having fun and doing the things you love. And our special guest, Dennis S. Brown, is going to stay with us for another 10 minutes or so, and we're going to keep talking about attitude. I'm going to tell you how to get his book and tell you how you can get in contact with him. He's a wonderful speaker. I saw him in Houston, and I was just absolutely sitting on pins and needles and jumping up and down because he had my attitude really, really excited. Okay, we'll be back in three. This is Ida Moye, your host. You listen to the Sports Maverick Show.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Do you think that all of the generic financial information you get every day is hard to navigate? You need to tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook. Every weekend, Andre S. Duffy will help you filter out this information and turn it into wisdom that you can really use. Be informed about the financial decisions you're about to make instead of just blindly making decisions. Andre's connections in the business and professional sports world will help you so you don't need to worry about your financial success. Tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping? Looking to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moye. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moye here, and we redefine the elite athlete and bridge the gap between life and sports. And our special guest tonight has been Dennis S. Brown. He is the author of a book called Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life. And Dennis, I want to welcome you back to the show and tell them how they can get a hold of that book.
Okay, they can get it at any Borders bookstore or Amazon.com. Change your attitude, change your life.
Excellent. Now, I'm going to read a couple quotes that I saw that have been sent to me regarding attitude. Weakness of attitude becomes weakness of character. Albert Einstein is a great one that comes from Mahatma Gandhi. In the attitude of silence, the soul finds the path in a clear light. And what is elusive and deceptive resolves itself into crystal clearness. Our life is a long and arduous quest after truth. And one more here I love, which is written by Brian Tracy, you cannot control what happens to you, but you can control your attitude towards what happens to you. And in that, you will be mastering change rather than allowing it to master you. Now, those are some great quotes, and I know that you have some great things that you love to say. And I'd like to hear some of your quotes, Dennis.
Not a problem. My number one quote, the quote that I live by, is simply the only difference between a good day and a bad day is your attitude. And I think that's so very, very important, and people need to understand that. Again, it's the only thing in life that you can't control, and that if you start controlling that, your lives will be better. And people ask me every now and then, well, Dennis, you got to have a bad day because you're a human being. Well, wrong. I have bad moments. I don't have bad days. I'm too blessed to have a bad day because I have too many good things going on in my life that I will have my moments of despair. But you just don't want to get caught up in that because, again, life is too short to be miserable.
Now, we talked about attitude, but one of the things that we are so excited about is that we saw it demonstrated in sports in the best way. And this is when we saw Butler University, which was actually defeated, by a number one team, which is Connecticut.
Correct.
But they scratched their way all through the actual March Madness to emerge for the second year in a row, as a contender, as far as the actual championship, and to end up actually at piercing through the gate there was really outstanding. But I think you have to look at where they came from. And Butler University was created in 1855 by an attorney and an abolitionist called Ovid Butler. And the mission of this school is a lot different than a lot of schools. The goal of the school is to teach a clear and effective communication, an appreciation of beauty, and a commitment to lifelong learning, community service, and global awareness.
Mm.
I think they got something there, don't you?
I think they got something great. And it proves with such a small school reaching such great heights against some major powerhouses, they had something. Unfortunately, last night, their shooting percentage was really low. And you're going to have those every now and then, but they picked a bad time to do it in the championship game. But you got to give them credit for the stance they took, the belief that they have, and to get there 2 years in a row. It's saying a lot, not only about the school, but about the character and the vision of the kids who go there.
Well, if you go to their campus and you stand on their campus, it's a very vibrant campus. It's in Indianapolis. Again, very positive, very upbeat. And I think what's interesting is that they emphasize liberal arts infused into education. And I think we're going to hear a lot more from this school because they actually have at this school over 58 majors. But listen to these statistics. 65 majors, 96% job placement, 100% in education and in pharmacy. So where we're in a climate where people are trying to get jobs, they're landing the job. So I think that they've got their hand on the pulse here, and clearly they're our sports maverick of the week. Our hat goes off to Butler, and it's clear from the press that we see is that when the game was over with, there was more of a sympathy press for Butler than it was. I didn't see in there, Connecticut tranches Butler. I didn't see in there Connecticut now late Butler, the typical press that we see. Everybody just felt like they were off their game. Now, again, sometimes it's almost like, the kids that played ball and they had old uniforms, right? But then when you give them the new uniforms, they get more caught up in the uniforms than they do the actual game. Now, I'm not saying that's the case, but sometimes that does happen. And again, I'm certain we're going to see them back again. Unequivocally, we're going to see them back again. And I think that one of the things which was an interesting press is that, which you rarely see, U.S. News and World Report said they were the best university in the Midwest. In the Midwest. So not University of Wisconsin, not University of Illinois, not Chicago University, not another major Northwestern university, but Butler. the best mm-hmm. in the Midwest. So evidently, athletics are very high on their list, but the emphasis on academics is equally as strong, and that's how they fit the character we look for the Sports Maverick Award of the Week. So, now, mothers, I know you're out there listening, and I know you obviously have heard Mr. Brown here talk about his book. I want to repeat it again, Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life. And if you're talking to a sports parent out there, just give them some tips, Dennis, in terms of how to grow that attitude homespun. So those kids will not only use it in sports, but use it in life.
Well, good, because I think they first need to understand that a great education, also being a great athlete, is a perfect storm. But get the education first. That's why the kids are called student athletes, because you're a student first. That we need to understand, we need to put the work into the classroom, but we also need to put the work into physically to become the best athlete that we can be. Choose whatever sport that you're comfortable in, that you're happy with, that you can see yourself playing year after year after year. But more importantly, as you go and ask yourself, what am I becoming as I play this sport? What am I contributing? How do I feel? Am I being the best that I can be? And you can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool the person in the mirror. Do what you can to make it work and enjoy life as often as you possibly can. And then I'll see you at the top.
Well, you see, you heard it there. So, you know, I've got my notes from my presentation you gave to us in Houston, and I'm following my attitude platform here. And I remember what you said is that you need to like yourself a lot. Hey,
exactly.
You're all right.
That's right. That's right. You got to look in that mirror and say, hey, you all right. That's what you got to tell yourself
right.
Every day.
Exactly. And most people go out of their way for you if they simply like you.
There you go. Like you. But in order for them to like you, you must first like yourself.
Absolutely. Well, that's it, folks, for another great show. And I want to thank my guest, Dennis S. Brown. And, again, don't be a stranger, Dennis. We want to welcome you back to the show at another time. You have a good evening, and we're signing off at Sports Maverick. We'll see you next week, same time, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, and 5 Pacific. Good night.
God bless.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyet and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.